to advertise, email podcast@thisismatchy.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
Indaba mini, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special edition of Podcast and Chill, hanging out with the queen of all media.
Yes.
All media.
Yeah, you've done it all. Radio.
TV. You know, I have a book that I don't like really care to talk about. Yeah, you won't see it in this research. I can write.
No, I know. You brought it out in 2012.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The youngster series. You know, they've been asking me to write a book ever since.
Oh, those.
I know. That's just, writing a book makes you a liar, man. Yeah.
Did it tank, though? Or did it do well?
I think we like sold 5,000 copies each.
Ah, that's terrible.
In South Africa, that's good. In South Africa.
It's like a bestseller.
No way.
Yeah, people don't read.
How many figures?
In South Africa, no, we've got a no reading culture.
I think it's since gotten better, though. I think people have started like buying the. No, I think if our generation writes books, we'll do better.
Did you have any spelling errors?
No, I didn't, because I had an editor, Mandy Wiener. She wrote Killing Cable. You don't mess with the girl who wrote Killing Cable, guys.
Ooh. Damn.
I'm scared. That's why I said it made me a liar, because I kept on saying, no, your email bounced. I didn't get it when I had deadlines.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I don't like things that like make me dishonest.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, let's be honest right now. Are you the highest paid entertainer in the country?
Did my figures all die?
Guys, my figures only gets paid.
Guys, my figures only gets paid like 150,000 rand a gig.
Anela, you got a fucking PA.
How many gigs do they have?
Which other celebrity know that has a PA, dog? Where do you even get them?
My PA has a PA.
Bars, drop that thing, Chief. When did you start having a PA? Like, that's unheard of.
No, I think when we started Real Talk.
Yeah.
There was just a few balls that I didn't want to drop. And so then he came in. So he would do things like making sure that I've got my scripts. And so it became gradual. We built it. But I mean, Lungani goes everywhere with me. Lungani's been with me to the Oscars. At the Oscars red carpet,
yeah.
If you look like 5 meters behind me, Lungani's there.
Does he go with you to the toilet?
So he has once. Yes, and like, we're gonna be honest now. Like, Lungani's like moisturizing my head. Like, sometimes no, and then he like knows. I'm like, oh, I'm out of tampons. He's like, oh, I've got extra for you.
Oh wow.
And then
wow.
No wait, this was when we went running the other time, and then I forgotten my tackies in Joburg. And then he's like, but I'm a size 8, and I was like, you are. Take your tackies off.
Whoa, Luana goes with you everywhere.
It's amazing. Yeah,
from the Oscars to the toilets.
I mean,
sounds deadly.
It sounds like most careers.
Oh, that's funny. So he knows everything about you, right?
Yeah.
We should be actually interviewing him.
You should.
Yeah.
And you know what? It clicked me. I've never made him sign an NDA. Oh, very. You see, that book would sell more than 5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you grew up soft, ne? You've had a soft life since the beginning.
What's soft?
Soft is like, went to private school.
I've never been to a private school.
But you, like, no, you did. She posted her childhood home. I think you drove past it a few weeks.
In Brooklyn.
In Waterkloof. That says it.
My dad was a diplomat. That wasn't our house.
Oh. You said you're
I grew up there for years.
And that's soft.
That's y'all's problem. Y'all don't know, want to know who the lease is in. No. Don't come with that. No, but the diplomat life was soft. Yeah, I won't lie to you. You had the drivers. Yeah. You had
drivers.
Yeah, and I remember, I think, because when we moved here, my mom didn't work. So what the embassy would do is like, they pay your mom to be a mom. Like, you know. So those were soft things. But as soon as we left that, because remember, we moved to Waterkloof in 1990. 1994, the first general elections happened, right?
Mm.
Which means that Transkei was no longer a country outside South Africa. It was now the Eastern Cape.
Yes.
So we then all got absorbed into South Africa. So then my dad was no longer a diplomat.
So which part of Eastern Cape are you from?
I'm from Umtata.
Umtata.
I'm from
Transkei. The poor side?
There's Transkei and there's this guy now. Both have got poverty, but I would say right now the wealth lies in East London, but like the cash society is Mthatha. You can hold me to correction, and FNB is probably gonna be like, stop talking, but the FNB in Mthatha has got the most liquid cash.
Oh, okay.
Because of all the outskirt villages who run a lot of businesses.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we don't do credit there.
Do you get a bank notification?
Mm.
And you don't know who it's from? Like, who's paying you?
Yes.
Nah, I can tell.
Yes.
Ah, that's soft talk.
Yeah, yeah. Then obviously I find out.
Yeah.
Like, I'll call and be like, who that?
Yeah. You know? What's the biggest amount you've ever received? You're like, wow, this is crazy.
I know what that question's about. You want to ask me my tax? I'm not going to tell you that. No, what's my biggest check? They're not big. It's just I work a lot. So
it accumulates.
You see, I would rather make R1,000 10 times than R4,000 twice.
Mm.
So because I work a lot, that's what happens.
And have you ever been broke?
Yes.
No way.
Yes, yes.
Objective. What's her definition of broke?
That my friends and I were in Cape Town for holiday in my car, and we blew all our money that we didn't have money for petrol to drive back to Joburg. That's broke.
What?
Yeah.
And what's the least amount you've had in your account where you're like, oh man.
Broke. Like, yeah. I think I had like R0. Like, maybe I think Standard Bank went as far as going -R10. Remember, you owe us that money for that thing. Yeah, no, guys. I've definitely been broke. Guys, remember, I've been a varsity student. I've got taxis.
Mm.
I used to catch a taxi from Bryanston to tax every single day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So this whole like, and I love that. I love that life because it gives me stories. You know, I once got into a taxi accident leaving Marabastad. You know, so there's things aren't. Even now, I can't say my life is soft because I just have things that the money needs to do.
So it comes in, goes out.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, soft life is like I don't look at prices. I'm always on holiday. Somebody else is footing the bills. Not all the bills are looking at me. So there's no such thing
as
soft.
And naturally, as black people, we can't be soft because our parents never had money. So we're starting from scratch.
Yeah, look, the one thing, you know, I'm fortunate on is that as much as I can use my dad as a parachute,
yeah.
You know, it's very seldom that I will. In fact, I think my dad and I have entered a life of business now where if I need to get capital for a business venture, recently I needed to talk to him about that. My dad came to the meeting with lawyers.
Wow.
I'm like, dad, what part of the game is this? And he's like, no, his lawyer and his accountant was there. And he's like, no, you said you want to talk business around, you know, getting capital for me. And he'll write it out. This is when I wanted, this is how I wanted, and I'm taking this much stake in your business.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not soft.
That's gangster. Some,
yes, exactly. I even took a photo and I sent it to my friends. I was like, guys, look at your father, because we call my dad your father.
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, look at your father coming to a meeting with lawyers, a lawyer and an accountant, and some person writing minutes. And then he's there also writing, and then he's like, tell me everything about this business from the beginning. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, we do radio, we do TV. He's like, every cent that comes in, I want to know, you know? So so that's not soft. Soft is somebody who goes, dad, I need 50 million, and then it happens. And whether or not you pay it back, that's another story. That's soft.
Is it true you used to eat your transport money? What did you do with the transport money?
Oh, no. Yeah. The ringleader is my older sister, Onati.
Mm.
What we'd do is once a week, we'd eat our transport money, we'd walk home. Because my parents always dropped us off, but then they'd give us money to get home.
After school, yeah.
Right? And sometimes we'd take the money, clap it together, buy chicken licking, and then walk home.
That's it.
And our parents never knew.
Yeah.
They just never knew. But also, it was safe for Nomtata to walk. Because remember, I must have been 5 turning 6, Timsa must have been 7 turning 8, and Unati 9 turning 10.
Yeah.
So these are three little girls like that walking a good 9Ks home.
And who was your dad's favorite?
My dad's favorite, I think, is naturally Unati because it's the first time he became a dad.
Okay.
But I think he's got a really soft spot for my little sister Zama.
Zama?
Zama.
And how many are you guys?
We're five.
Five?
Yeah, it's four girls and a boy.
Yeah.
Damn. I think, no, Zama's everyone's. Look, Zama's my favorite. So I'm not shocked if Zama's anyone's favorite.
Yeah.
She's my favorite as well.
What kind of kid were you at school? Like, you looked like you were a bully.
No, I wasn't I actually used to bully the bullies.
So you were a bully?
No, but if you were bullying other people, then like I'd make a point that you don't do it again. Like, or we know it, or we like highlight it, or we just shun you.
Mm.
You know, like I'm not a bully. I was everywhere in the playground. You couldn't put me with the cool kids, but I hung out with them. You couldn't put me with the rich kids, but I did hang out with them. You couldn't put me with the leaders, but I hung out with them. You couldn't put me with the sporty people, but I was sporty. I did culture. So, because I always say a playground is like Twitter. Right?
Yes, yes. I was about to
A playground is like Twitter, right? Mm. Everyone is there, and you need to make your way to get along with everyone. Mm. But the truth about the playground is that the bell rings and then we all go home.
Mm.
So that's actually not reality.
Mm.
You know, everyone is projecting something that they think will get them liked by the playground on the playground. But chances are the person who is like the confident, you know, full of rubbish one, they're going home to an abusive home. Mm. So that's why they have to come to the playground and project to be something else, because it's the only time they can escape that reality.
Mm.
But they, and I suppose that's why I didn't stick in one place in the playground. I was like with everyone. I was with like the kids rapping Cypher. Like I was like with the ones playing marbles. I was even working at the tuck shop.
What?
Yes. Mm. You know, my mom worked at the tuck shop at a stage, man. Mm. So I was just like everywhere. And then my mom was part of the governing body at this stage, so it was just kind of my job to know what people are happy, what people are unhappy about.
Mm.
So you couldn't, you really, you could ask my headmaster what type of person was Anneli. Like, she was everyone's person.
And that's it ties in with radio.
Yeah.
Because with radio, so you can speak to a, especially at 947, you can speak to a 50-year-old Afrikaans guy from Benoni.
Yeah.
And then the next caller,
a 9-year-old Indian kid from Lanesia.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the
and
next,
you have to relate to all of them.
Quickly.
Yeah.
And you have 3 seconds to make them feel welcome.
Yeah.
You have 3 seconds. After that, you miss them, you know?
So you went into boys at all?
At school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I had a boyfriend in standard six.
Standard six? Not even grade eight.
Sorry, grade eight. Oh, do you know what? Every time I try to, like, in the eighth grade, like, whatever. I wasn't, like, into, do you know what it is?
Mm.
I was naughty in standard seven. Like, the kind of naughty where we're sneaking out and, you know, Lucinda stole his mom's car and that's what we're doing.
Mm.
But I just, the fear of getting caught, because my mom, she wasn't strict, but you don't mess with Mrs. Mdoda, you know? And after a while, just the anxiety of like, what will happen if I get caught? I was like, this thing's not worth it. As a result, from grade 10, all the way to matric, I was just like on the straight and narrow, hence I was deputy head girl. You know, so I feel like I did have a rough side in standard seven. Standard seven was rough. I don't know what was going on there. I suppose we're all like getting into our hormones and we're trying to solidify ourselves.
Are we drinking at this time, smoking weed?
Can I tell you, I drank once in high school. In fact, I didn't even get to drinking. Do you want to know what happened? So the kids used to do this thing where they put vodka in Energade.
Yeah, I remember
on
that.
On a sports day.
Yeah.
It was not on a sports day, you're allowed to carry around a bottle, right? Mm. So, I promise you, I carried it once because my friend gave it to me. And then in Afrikaans class, I kicked it over and it spilled. And as it ran, yo, guys, that was like a roadblock when you know your disc ain't the one. When you know, you're like... So, as it spills, I'm like, shit. So, you know, in class, we had like these rolls of paper by the door.
Yeah.
So, I go there to take this roll of paper to go wipe this Energade and vodka. As I'm wiping it, Mrs. Smith, Mathro Smith, comes up, my Afrikaans teacher, with a cup, and she's like, pour some for me.
Woo!
And you know what? Because I didn't flinch and I just took it, as I was about to pour, she was like, no, it's fine. And she went to go sit down. Had I said, no, ma'am, no, she would have said, pour down, and then it would have been tickets for me, right? But I think it was just confidence. Yeah, and I just went to that one seat. She's like, no. This okay, whatever she said. And she went to go sit down. And I carried on wiping it. And Lerato was like, who's sitting behind me? And from then on, I just didn't touch booze until varsity.
Mm.
I just didn't touch booze until varsity. That's why I'm saying that. Standard 7 was rough, but I think that incident and just like the... I don't mind if the school's calling my parents to tell them I'm flanking.
Mm.
Like, you know, her math mark sucks. You guys better do something about it. I do mind if the school calls my mom and say I'm drinking at school, because they anticipated me flanking when they dropped me off at school. They didn't anticipate me getting caught for alcohol. Mm. You know,
why would they anticipate you flanking?
Because you anticipate failure from your children.
No, man.
You do, guys, because you must be ready for everything. Celebrate the successes and then anticipate the failure.
Mm.
Because now, if my dad gets shocked when I fail, you know, even his shock hurts me more. It's like, oh my word, like, this man is so crushed that, you know, in his mind, there wasn't a realm of fault in anyone.
Mm.
I don't do that. I anticipate failure for my son. Mm. Like, he's a very bright child, and I only hope the best for him. Mm. But
he's going to be a rock star, man.
Yeah, Ibona, I guess I need to... Exactly, but I can't... He can't live in a house where he feels like... I can't do anything wrong. Mm. I don't want my child...
That's too much pressure.
No, I don't want my child living in a house like that.
What sports are you playing at this time?
Ooh, I was a good swimmer. Very good at swimming, very good at netball.
Backstroke, everything.
Yeah, net butterfly, babes.
Butterfly.
And I remember I tried to run.
Cross country.
Yo. This is earlier though. This is still when you lived in Waterkloof. So, you know, cross country, I thought you just go around the field 3 or 4 times and that's it.
Mm.
They actually meant you cross the country, like.
No cap.
Yeah. No. They call it what it is. Because now we're running around the field, and then now we're going towards the gate, and then we get out to school.
What?
Then we're running in the neighborhood. And obviously, the cross country people know that we're running and we're keeping pace.
Mm.
Yo, I almost died that I stopped at a house, and I just buzzed, and I was like, you guys have to let me in and give me water. Thank you. They open, the kids are doing homework, the mom is cooking, and they were like, oh, and I'm like, no, I'm in Brooklyn Primary, I'm just like tired, like we're running, and I'm tired, and I'm thirsty. It's a shame they're giving me water, and then the mom is like, no, sit down and watch TV, just get your breath back. So
they
now,
don't know you.
They don't know me, right? So now I'm sitting.
You're in a race.
But to be fair, this is what, 1993 at best, you know? So now I'm sitting down and I'm eating, like, you know, those like bread, peanut butter bread sammies that with the crust is cut off. I'm like, this is, you see, that was soft.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is soft. Then like I hear, Anele! Anele! And then like the lady of the house, like, are they calling you? And I'm like, yeah, they are. Like, let me go. They literally sent out a search party because everybody got back to the school and they did a head count. And then they were like, y'all left a man behind, go find her. So they had to take the same route, but now it's slower because they're screaming, Anele! So then, no, wait. So I get out, I'm like, hey guys, all sheepish, because now I'm embarrassed. The chubby kid let everyone down. So they're like, it's fine, Anele. Then now we're walking back and they hold me. They're like, no, it's fine. They think about running, you must just keep running. And I'm like, yeah. So I get back to the school and my mom is waiting, parked in the parking lot. I remember she was in a red Cadet R211T. So I get my bags and my sister's sitting in the front. Tim says, yeah, Zama's not born yet. So I get in, I sit right behind my mom because I don't want to look in her eyes. So she's eating grapes. And she's like, so was he happy? So I'm like, when you was across country, mom. Like, Anele, we athletics, we're going to short put. No disgust. When I pack a javelin, into those old balagas, yeah, go nut. When I, yes, I pack with strength.
That's hilarious.
Bruh. You know, my mom would tell you, I don't know, yeah, because I'll get back.
Oh, man, that's crazy. So, you haven't flunked. You're a head girl. Life is good.
Mm.
Why are you moving to Pretoria?
But we moved to Pretoria because, as in what, to do varsity?
Yeah, UP.
I went, you must remember, I went to Tugs after I was at Midrand University doing law.
You did law first?
Yes, my first year was law at Midrand University through UNISA.
Okay.
But also it was just a case of like, you know, I really didn't get into law because I wanted to go to Wits.
Mm.
And Wits, you had to be clever.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't playing that.
Yeah.
Remember Wits in that point system? Like, just for them to talk to you, you had to get 17. I think my points were like a 13 at least. Yeah. You know? So I don't get into Wits.
Mm.
And it's too late to get into Tugs.
Mm.
So then my friends who are like childhood friends of mine, their dad was very good friends with my dad. They also, like, their matric marks were like dismal.
Mm.
So they're like, oh, let's just go to Midrand and be at UNISA.
Which is MGI?
Yes. I was at MGI. What? What are you saying?
Yeah, we used to do Rock the Go parties there.
Okay, then you and I went there for different things. But,
but we were there, Oksalai.
Oksalai, we were all there, eating slap cheese by that chip and dip outside. Okay.
That's crazy.
I actually stayed at Masingita.
Masingita. You got stories there.
Really? Yo. Tell us.
Hi. And it's now Pearson of Institute now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. I stayed at Masingita, but I mean, home was Bryanston.
Mm.
So I think every weekend, I'd just pack
up and
go.
So you guys had a home in Bryanston?
Yes. Oh, okay. Home is still Bryanston.
Oh, dope.
My dad's in Bryanston. When I go home,
yeah.
I go to my dad, and then if I'm really going home, I go to Eastern Cape Tolo, which is our village.
Yeah.
But we've been in Bryanston for 21 years now.
That's
so
dope. That's dope. That's soft.
You guys are idiots.
That's soft, dude.
So like, because Bryanston was what, 14-20 km from Midrand, then I was home every weekend. So I really didn't feel varsity life at MGI, to be fair.
Yeah.
Because even my mom worked in Pretoria, so there were times when she'd be driving to work in the morning and then at Ellendale and then drop off food, you know? So I didn't feel the varsity
life. Why didn't you finish the law course?
Because then my parents wanted me to move to a big university.
Oh.
You know, they were like, yes, this worked. And they thought when I moved to Tags, I would move and just convert into law.
Mm.
But by then I was here with law, and I was like, no, let me do politics and international relations. And luckily, because a few of the modules were the same, then Tax credited me. They were like, okay, you can come. Yes, it's your first year at Tax, but some of you, the things you're doing are going to be second year, because UNISA and Tax share the same senate of like syllabus. So
yes.
It's easy for one to recognize the other.
Why politics, bro?
I don't know. I just wanted to study something. I didn't care. Like, I'd lost it because law as well was because I liked Ellie McBeal and the practice and, you know.
Oh, TV.
Yeah.
West Wing.
Mm. Yeah, but then I just like lost the passion for it. I was just like, oh, let me just study. I remember there was a point I said to my dad, let me just do HR. And he was like, no child of mine is going to do HR. That much I can tell you. And then I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
Mm.
So, but politics, international relations, I could trust that it would at least, it teaches you to be very well versed in something, at least, the research and the understanding. And I thought, I can be a diplomat, they can post me anywhere in the world, it means I can travel, you know, it gives me a worldly view of things.
So you never enjoyed it at all?
It was okay, you know, it was okay. Like, I was meant to be a broadcaster, because then when I, because literally the first day I got to Tax, I saw the posters for Tax FM.
Okay.
And then that was it.
Mm.
And then I wasn't lost anymore. So I'd continue going to class, but I knew why I was at Tax. I was there to do radio.
So you didn't finish your degree, nothing?
Dude, in my third year, I got called to 947.
Yeah.
And like full time, 5 days a week, get out of here thing. And then my parents were like, well, this is what you want to do, you know, because there's like a, and I don't think many broadcasters talk about this, but there is a darkness between knowing what you want to do as a broadcaster, be it acting, singing, talking. The moment you know what you want to do, and the moment there's a gap between knowing what you want to do and knowing how you're going to do it.
Mm.
That gap is very dark.
Mm.
And a lot of broadcasters don't speak about the depression that lives in there, right? And for me, I was fortunate enough that, yes, that darkness did hit me, but it didn't hit me for that long.
Yeah.
Because once I figured out how I'm going to do it, then I was like, okay, then the power's mine. You know, if I don't get this right, it's me, you know? And there's a very big notion within our industries that if I don't become a singer, it's somebody else's fault who didn't play my song on radio, or somebody who didn't take my CD to the right person or whatever. But if you sit down and realize, actually, the power really is within you.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got the talent.
You're right, man. Because after matric, I took a gap year. And then...
Oh, wait, you're also soft. I forget this, that your mom... Didn't your mom once call in to ask to say you're not coming in to work, you're sick? I was sick. Yeah, sure. Hi, Mr. Naidu. It's MacGyver's mother here. We agree. We're there now. Our mothers are calling in sick for us. Okay.
So I took a gap year, and I remember hearing Rude Boy Paul, Fresh, Bad Boy T, and I was like, this is what I want to do.
That's why I'm going. So funny you mentioned that story, because I was thinking about it this morning, because I was talking to Natsi, because she's planning like this big birthday of hers that we're all going to, and I was like, I've never really told her, because it's almost like I feel it will regress our friendship, but she's going to find out now. I remember, because doing radio at Tux, and they'd make you record yourself with a cassette.
Oh, I know the story. I remember she told me a story. I cracked up laughing, dog. It was so funny.
So now you record yourself with a cassette, right? And then what I'd always do is, because now you must record yourself so that you can listen back to it with your manager. Now you hear how cocky you are. You're like, yes, there's some people listening to this rubbish. And then the one time, now I'm listening to it before so I can preempt the nonsense that I'm about to hear from my manager back on campus. So for some odd reason, I think my tape ran out whilst I'd been in the shower or something. But then when I walked back in with a friend of mine, Tiny, we thought we're still listening to me, but now it had gone to YFM and Unati was talking. And I thought it was me. So I'm like, girl, you're bad though. Like, why are you so hard on yourself? And then went 99.2. I'm like, that ain't me. That ain't me. So, and then I remember that moment, Tiny looked at me. She's like, babe, you didn't realize we both thought that was you. I'm like, I know. She's like, that means you're good. Like,
at that time, as a woman, who are you looking up to? Because there's a lot of, it's male dominated at that time.
Do you know, can I tell you, I think it's one of the questions I hate the most being asked, which women broadcasters do I look up to? Because it's like so polarizing. I listen to everyone, you know?
I see.
I liked everyone. Yeah. I liked Mel Bala, although I didn't think I'd ever be on TV, right? But I just liked what she did. Mm. I liked Nothemba Madumo when she was with Tish Mataz on Was a Weekend, you know, things like that. But at the same time, I liked Jeremy Mansfield. Mm. You know, I loved Gareth Cliff. Mm. I liked Alex Mark J. Gilman. You know, I didn't dig Mark Gilman.
What?
I wasn't a Mark Gilman fan at all.
Are you mad?
Funny enough, him and I now, we're more fans of each other, just as people as broadcasters, than what him and I both do on air.
Yeah.
I never got the Mark Gilman era.
Jeez.
That's why I don't ever take anything personally when people say it about my craft.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I understand what Mark Gilman was to other people.
Yeah.
And to me, I was just like, not here for it, don't get it, it's shouty, it's screamy, it's, they're like, he's the greatest creative mind in the world. I'm like, not my world.
Did anyone open doors for you to get into radio?
Alex J. Wow. Alex J was interviewed for his 25th years in radio by Sunday Times and Sunday Independent, and when they said, which hot new talent should we watch out for, and he said, you guys don't know, she does brunch on Tux, Anel.
Wow, and he's big at this time.
Yeah, he's Alex J. He's Alex J. And I don't even know he listens to me. Then after that, my relationship with Ravi started.
Mm.
Because then we went for like a training course at Highveld. And I remember Reverend John and Lloyd had either been fired or something. There was something there.
Mm.
So we were looking for a 7 to 10 show. And when we all left to go back to the bus, they announced, hi, it's Anele here. And I was like at the back, obviously causing shit.
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, here I is, you know.
Who are you?
Ubanwen. And they're like, no, please, can you stay behind for a bit? And I was like, no, I'm catching the bus back to Pretoria. I'm like, no, I'm catching the bus back to Pretoria. I can't. And then they're like, no, we'll get the driver to take you home. And I'm like, okay. Then the bus left. Then I was speaking to them, like with Terry and everyone. They're like, you know the radio statement, where you at? So where you at?
Yeah.
Every radio person has been asked in their life. If you haven't been asked where you at, you're not a radio person.
Yeah.
So then also, I just felt at that point in time that if I had moved, I would have moved to forever be on the side, on the sidekick. You know, the girl who's been hired to laugh and all of that. So I said, I just need a year more tax to solidify my personality.
So he said no?
Yes.
Fuck, to Terry?
To Ravi mostly.
Yo. Yeah.
He always tells the story.
Yeah.
Sister. Yes, he said no to me. Eh? But then literally, I think within 8 months, also because there was, it's when I picked up then on a lot of misogyny in the industry. And I think it was like, it was becoming a little strife and rough at Tux that I was like, ugh, you know, I think I've done enough here. So about 9 months down the line, I remember emailing Ravi and my subject thing was content, engagement, fun, ! Like, is he doing it? And then I said, I'm ready.
Mm.
And then I sent him that email, and then he called back and he's like, you start training next week.
Take me back to Tux. Do you remember a show that you did where you left that studio like, we fucked shit up?
I did a talk show at Tux.
Yeah.
So Grant, who then became my co-host at 947.
Yeah.
I did lunch, and then there was a talk show hour because we had to service talk to make up for the fact that we had 1 minute news.
Okay.
So Ikasa insists that your news is 3 minutes or what, maybe like 12 minutes an hour, whatever it is they say to you.
Mm.
So to make sure that we serviced what Ikasa wanted, we had a talk show. So I would do lunch and then we'd have a talk show where Grant and I were on it, and then he would take over. So from 12 to 7, it was me and Grant.
What?
Yeah, but I did the first 3 hours, and then we met together for the talk show, and then he would do the last 3 hours.
That's where the chemistry.
That's where the chemistry was built. And I think every talk show that we did at Tux was like, was fire, because it was unheard of for students to be hosting a talk show. And then we were getting big names. Like, we were literally getting huge names. I remember even after Charlize won her she won her Oscar, and when Tsotsi won the Oscar as well, there were people would like call us, like, do you guys want to chat to these people? Like, we were getting big names. We were getting,
you can't get Charlize now.
I got Charlize last week. I don't know what you're talking about.
Can I have a great job, man? It's going to be late today.
Like, you can't get Charlize now. I spoke to the girl just yesterday.
On WhatsApp.
You were like, hey girl. What you talking about? Hey, she was in her lounge with a room divider behind her. I was like, you're South African, man. You can see the Benoni behind you.
Yeah.
So, it was that, but I think there was one show as well where this guy said he wants to propose to his girlfriend. And she said, no, your wait is there.
No, bring the bottle, dog. We're not on TV yet. Oh, is this going to Channel O? Is it? Oh, okay, it's fine. They must see Grandview.
Just go there. You know this.
Bring
way.
It. Give me the sponge as well.
And then, what's a sponge?
Dash.
Oh, good Lord.
Standard six.
No, I don't know. Because I didn't drink in high school, guys. I wouldn't know.
You did once.
I almost, and my ass almost got caught.
Yeah.
So he proposed, and then she said no. And I even remember, because I was missing what was going on, but I was like, this guy is taking an L here. Because it was also in Afrikaans, and my Afrikaans, like, you know, get touch and go. And all I remember, because I'd say to him, okay, after she says yes, which song must I play? And he said, I must play Hoobastank, The Reason. So that I still remember, I still played it, even though she said no, because I'm like, nah, I don't have time to ask you. So now she said no, what must we play? And I remember her last words to him were, Nia, she was like, Nia, nooit ni. Extelni belang ni. Or some extelni belangrik ni. And then I remember asking Afrikaans people, like, what did she say? They're like, hey, she's not changing her mind. And I was like, hey, bruh. So I just played the song. Yeah. I think that was hot. And I remember the campus was like talking a lot about that show.
Wow.
You know, there's times when you walk out, even out of the show, and people are just commenting on the show.
Yeah.
That's when you know, okay, so I'm doing something right. Yeah.
There's nothing that beats that, eh?
Bruh.
Bro, no retweets, likes.
No retweets. No, all that other stuff is superficial. Like, the views on Instagram. Yeah. Walking out literally, I remember we did this whole show recently about the house that's got tigers next door to a creche, right? And this woman, Shem, it was at her wit's end. She'd gone to everyone reporting these tigers. And then I got wind of the story from The Citizen. Then that's when I started calling. Like, we just want to talk to the people who wanted to talk to the most were the crew guys who own the tigers. But like, guys, how do you have two tigers in your backyard? Like, just like walk me through the process of it. And the first day, no one would talk to us. Then I was like, guys, we're going to run the story by ourselves. Our personalities are strong enough to get this going, and then we'll get the listeners to call in. The amount of people who live in Alberton, Boksburg, and Benoni who've got lions and tigers as pets, guys. It's insane, right? So now that one show.
In Benoni, right?
Right now. Not yesterday, not last year, not when Mufasa was here. Right now.
That's insane.
So, So then we are. Oh, they want ice. Is it finished? Oh, Shem. It's not finished. There is ice in there.
Just put in the blood,
dog. Oh, Shem. Who's the ice boy amongst you? There's always one.
Hey, my man. I need a PA.
The ice boy is always the one driving. And I put, must be careful, ladies. So then, just like, and then everyone wouldn't talk to us on the first day because the show was so big with just us talking about it and just the listeners calling in and telling us. The next day, everyone would say no. I'm talking from mayor to mayor spokesperson to the SPCA to the environmental people. Everyone then called in to be like, we'll talk to you.
Wow.
So then it became like a week-long thing. But ultimately, I was like, guys, what we're doing here is looking for a solution for this lady. She's got a creche with 32 kids, and there's a tiger that peers and looks. It's like going to McDonald's and looking at the menu. This tiger's like, look at me. He's like, who am I going to start with first?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And this woman.
This is a true story.
It's a true story. It's happening now.
That's insane.
It's happening now. The laws in South Africa have to change because right now you can keep a tiger because a tiger is an exotic animal. The only animals you're not allowed to keep are animals that are indigenous. So like a lion, because we have lions in South Africa, or a leopard or a cheetah. But if it's like,
or you could have. A faithful woman, you know? or a cougar. I keep them.
Oh, is that you? Look at you, Black Panther. Wakanda forever, motherfucker. So you see that show, because I remember walking into the Houghton Hotel and just a lot of people, they're like, oh, how are those tigers? And you just walk like a good 30 people in one space. Mm. To me, that's more than anything anyone can ever say anywhere, any award, any what, because radio is engagement. Radio is the original social media. Mm. You know, this is why, you know, we don't do things for tweets and relikes, because we did it initially.
Yeah.
You know, you failed at it initially. Mm. You do something and no one calls.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, you're like, do I suck? Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Try it again.
Yeah.
So you come back in another link and you position it in a different way.
Yeah.
And this is why it's so important to start on campus radio, to make your mistakes there, to build your personality there. To
work on the craft.
To work on the craft there and to flop there and to realize that, you know, one show does not make Anele a failure. You know, it's just that one show that didn't work out.
Did you ever send demos to YFM and Metro? Because they were running shit at that time.
Mm-mm, I never sent any.
For real? You had no aspirations?
No. Desire to be there.
I wanted to be at Highveld, guys.
You knew the money's with the wife.
Not even. I used to fall asleep. You know, Spoy had these little radios. The money's with the whites. You see, even that I can't subscribe to, because, like I say, I'm like model C. So my school was blacks and whites that had money. Only when you get to the real world, you're like, it is with the whites.
They weren't lying.
No, you're like, okay. I see. Little Pat Patrice, you like.
I see you, nigga.
Oh, no. So, Spur had these little radios. If you bought like a cheeseburger or something, and it was like our weekly meal, like on Friday, like. Even now at my house, my son's only allowed takeaways on weekends. During the week, I cook. So on Fridays, we'd get takeaways, and then we'd get these radios. And I remember I used to fall asleep with Highveld playing in my ears.
Oh, yeah, same.
So that when I wake up, I don't miss Jeremy's first link.
Yeah.
You know?
Him and Sam Cowan.
Oh,
that him, first
Sam,
link was
Harry Swadopoulos.
Yeah.
Then Wackard came in at a later stage. Tulu was there. And then out, because I knew when we get in the
bongs,
car.
The traffic guy.
Yeah, bongs, yeah. You know, we the raw generation. Because I knew when we get in the car, we'd listen to 702, which was John Robbie and Nico Epikicha and Katie Katapotis, who I also loved, right?
Mm.
So for me, 947 and 702, that was it. That's where I wanted to go. Even when I moved to 5, I just knew it was a strategic profile building. Decision, but I knew I'd go
back. National.
But also, I also believe that I don't believe in those national is the only thing that can make you the which is why I can boast that I think what we've done at 947 as a provincial radio station is something to be marveled at, because we pack a punch like we're national, but we're not.
Yeah. Tell me, tell us all the story. I remember you told me this was the finest thing I've ever heard, bro. So she just got into 947.
Yeah.
She's trying to find her feet. And tell him about how you were imitating all the other radio jocks.
Dude. So I'm trying to find my feet, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, Jeremy's good. Let me try with Jeremy.
Wow.
It doesn't work out. I'm like, oh, Sam's also good. But you do that when you're trying to find your feet. Bro, I was Gareth Cliff. There was a point where you listened to me like, who is this girl, right?
Yeah.
But the funny thing is the punchlines were there. It's just the delivery of them was somebody else.
Even Penny leave behind.
Dude, I was the fly girl. I was like, I can be Penny. Because you look to see who's making it elsewhere.
Yeah.
And then you think that's what you need to be.
Emulated, yeah.
To get there. And then I don't know when it happens, but just one day, you just decide, let me just try being myself.
Mm.
You know, I don't even think you realize on that day you're being yourself, but you realize that now you're getting a real response.
Mm.
And then you look to see, oh, what's changed? You're like, oh, I'm telling my stories.
Yeah.
I'm doing what I want to do. I'm using my tonality in when I'm speaking.
Yeah.
And that's why people are responding.
Yeah. When does 5 call? 5 FM?
Yo, guys. They called when I was broke.
For real.
Remember when I said we came to Cape Town and da 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 da.
How can you be broke? You're working at 947.
Yeah.
I finished my money in December, guys. Which part of it don't you understand?
Oh yes.
No.
Yes.
Hello. You can pass by all means.
What's happening? What's happening?
I charge by the
month.
Oh,
excuse
me. Hey. These are the guys putting the stage together for Miss South Africa. So
nice to meet you, sir. Yeah,
nice meeting you, bro.
Awesome, awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Josh. You guys were really helpful.
Yeah.
Cheers, cool, cheers. Man. We'll cheers. See you guys tomorrow.
Yeah. Cool. So you went to Konka in Cape Town?
Yeah, I went everywhere in Cape Town, bruh. And do you know what it is? In hindsight, I'm still like, how did I get so broke? I wasn't even paying for accommodation. Mm. A friend of mine's cousin is Monde Zondeki, who was a very big cricketer then. So he had a nice big house.
Yes, Monde.
That's where we stayed. Mm. I don't know. I got so broke that holiday. I just didn't get the Jager bombs. I can't see, man. But hey, when it was time to drive home, I didn't have money. But 5 calls.
That same time?
Yeah. I remember, I think it was the day I was driving back to Joburg, and it was in Jan. Mm. And remember, April is the sweet spot for radio.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
yes.
So they call and they're like, can
Who's
we...
calling?
Karen.
Karen.
Karen Dupree or Duplessis?
Yeah.
Karen calls.
I remember sending emails to Karen with
Blonde, tall. She was actually, she went to Y at the stage as well.
Yeah.
Karen calls, hi, can we meet with you and Grant? So I'm like, oh, thank God, and Grant, because I'm not, it's too early in the game to be stabbing people in the back, you know? Mm. So I call Grant, and Grant's like, wait, there's a number calling me. Because I call him like, hey, when a 5 a.m., and the thing is, 5 a.m. was Grant's dream station. So we'd already made my dream come true with Highfield, but I knew all he wanted to do was work at 5. Nice. And so when he calls back, he's almost like, because he knows how much I love Highfield, so he thinks I'm going to say, no, let's not go, or go by yourself. But he understands, you know, you're a black woman, and at this point in time, you know what the climate is like. Mm. They actually want a black woman. So in his mind, he thinks, oh, I'm going to say no. And I'm like, dude, let's do it. Like,
let's rock it.
And I was young. What, I was 23?
Yeah.
I'm like, lunch on. Oh, they first offered us 7 to 10.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm definitely not moving for the same slot.
Yeah.
You know, and that was when Nicole Fox was at 7 to 10, but she wanted lunch.
Hmm.
And I don't know what happened there, but then they came back and we turned 7 to 10 down. I was like, we're not taking 7 to 10. Call us when you want to talk to us.
Yeah.
And then like it was not even a week, they called. They were like, okay, cool, let's do lunch. Because they knew then that Ian and Sasha were wrapping it up.
Mm.
But and I think Nicole was getting married, moving to Nigeria. I don't know what was happening there with her, but... Then there we were. We got lunch.
I remember we were doing lunch the same time. You had 5 hours at Y.
Oh, I didn't know you.
And then I bought like 50 pizzas. Ordered them live on air.
Oh, they got delivered to us.
And then I said, send them to Grant and Anel.
Wow.
Did they get delivered?
So there was something that told us that had happened, but it was really the first time I knew about you. I was like, who's this Max G fellow that's got all this money? Like, why would he order 50 pizzas? Like, I'm kidding. You know? But you know, because I had radio blinkers. So I listened to a lot of radio. But for instance, the guy who trained me, Rian Van Eerden, who does Driver Jacaranda.
Oh, Rian.
Rian, you always say...
Grant talks about him a lot.
Oh, because Rian is amazing. One of the best broadcasters in the world. Rian would always say, stop telling people who you are.
Mm.
If they want to know who you are, they'll find out who you are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not this, So even this, in the last year when we repositioned The Breakfast Show from The Breakfast Club to Anel in the Club, my bosses knew that I'm going to struggle to say my name because I just don't get why you must say your name.
Yeah, yeah.
So chances are I'd listened to you and thought you were awesome, but I don't know your name because I can't say any, you know. Even there's a kid now who's at Good Hope who does 7 to 10, this girl. I remember listening to her. It was myself and my peer and my makeup artist driving back from a shoot, and I was engaging with her because naturally, my natural instinct on radio is to crit.
Yeah.
So I'm engaging her, but I'm critting her. After a while, the Uber driver says, I didn't realize I was talking out loud. He says, to Lungani, my peer, what do you guys think? Because she's already said what she thinks. And I was like, whoa, I was saying it out loud. And to date, I don't know her name, but I know that clearly she's got something because I was engaging her. Even though I was like, this link is long.
Mm.
She'd have dropped it after that call. Ooh, that was your high. You should have left there.
Mm.
But I know she's good because I was engaging her.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of that. And I did a lot of that in the past as well. I engage with people on radio, but I'm like, I don't care to know your name until there's a need to know your name.
So you're doing lunch. You got Grant, your best buddy. You guys are flying high.
We're gigging.
Yeah, you're gigging.
Spring break.
No, but you weren't gigging. You were just playing cut and join. She used to press play. And then when the next song finishes, press play.
Oh, you DJed?
No, she didn't DJ. Cut and join.
I did beat mix at 140 bits.
And then, wait,
and then you count to 8. 1, 2, 3. And then you go cut.
140, you're running.
Eh?
Okay, maybe 1, 2 in Siangas. I don't know, but it was there on the side, man. And then you take it up and down according to where you wanted to go, and then you like.
Yeah.
And also, I wasn't like Ken Lewis, like.
Yeah.
Saga, saga, saga. Oh, old club, what's your game? What you for? I was just there, like, playing pink. So what? I still a rock. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was a vibe. Yeah. Like, I don't have time to be like mixing a song in from 4 minutes. Wait, we can live, boss. We can live.
It's a piece.
Like, no.
So, why go back to 947 without Grant?
Well, Grant went Buddhist. Basically, obviously, you keep quiet when you're Buddhist. Like, it kind of defeats the purpose of being on radio. But also, like I say, when I said earlier, it's too early in the day to be stabbing people in the back.
Sure.
Because you don't know how people will take it when you want to go solo. But ultimately, I'd always known that had to be my path. So I'm just glad that it came at an opportune time where we're both in agreement that it's a wrap. And also, it was a case of... Hence, we actually ended up working together again, just not him on air. Yeah. Like, he was my program manager, which actually still became Grant and Anele because there were strengths in each of us that got sharpened. Because when I was with Grant, I wasn't as sharp in coming up with content, but I was really good at delivering it.
Execution.
Whereas he was not good at execution, but he was good at creatively coming up with it.
And that's where the balance.
But now, because I've spent 8 years with him... That muscle didn't have to work because he was there. But as soon as he wasn't there, then that muscle had to work. So that's why today I'm great at coming up with content and execution.
But also at that time, 947, I'm sure it still is, was Anele FM. You know what I mean?
Okay. No, when I moved to 947, it wasn't Anele FM. I was on Drive.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I know I shook the room a bit when I came back. No, a few uncomfortable ones, like stretching. But it didn't. It wasn't Anele FM.
Is it true that you wanted Saul to work with you?
I did at a point. I did want Saul to come.
When was this? Which transition
were
you at?
I was at Y. You were at Y.
You were going back to
Drive.
To Drive.
Yes. I wanted him to co-host the Drive show with me.
Saul.
Yeah. And I still remember our Australian consultant listened to Saul at Y. He's like, oh, man. You know, Anele... I don't know how you're going to take this, but and I was like, what? I think they found him to be a live wire. Ravi loved him.
Ravi.
Oh, Ravi loved me. Ravi.
He's got a good ear, bro.
No, Ravi loved you, but I think they felt there could have been like a discipline issue there. And they just... And also, it's I'm not dissing you and saying you're ill-disciplined. I'm just saying that if both of us are there, then they have two people to worry about when it comes to discipline.
That's exactly what you told me.
Yes. Yeah. They were just like, Anele, you get solidified first and you gain some responsibility. Because I can tell you something. I was someone at 947, but I became a bigger someone when I had a child.
Yes.
Because there was just something about having a child that told them that, okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So a lot of people will come to me across stations and be like, oh, I'm so tired of doing nights. Oh, I'm so tired of just being considered the kid at the station. And I'm just like, then show them you're not.
Have a child.
Not even have a child. Pay some bills. Not have a child.
Go have a child. Then you can talk
is like, not boots. Have them babies. Sing off the chandelier. No, don't do that. But just show up. Show up in like, maybe buy a house, a small house. Like, because on air, you have to relate to people who are paying bills, taking kids to school.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
And all
that. Yes. Yeah. And now when your life is like, we're at the Great Dane the entire time.
Yeah.
You're not growing with your listener. And it's not to say your listener's not like that.
There's
but
no
just
synergy.
Like, it's just like that they're not like that the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, sometimes we'll sit and we'll be spitballing topics. And someone will say a topic. Frankie and I say at the same time, that's a Israeli topic. Like, keep it there for, you know, the brown kids of life. Like, the good times.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You need somebody who's going to service that market.
Yeah.
You need somebody, but it can't be here. Because here, you know, you putting people in a good mood. You don't want to, like, show them they're boring.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's... So once in a while, I can express that I'm hungover on air. You know, because then people were like, not every Monday, not every day, you know, because it's like, babe, we're raising kids out here. This rock star life is not going
to
work.
I want you to listen to me, man, because I feel like you never got your flowers for this. But 2017, you become the first ever woman, not black, not white, woman to host a breakfast show. On a commercial station in that magnitude. Guys, round of applause.
You never got your flowers for that, bro.
You never got your flowers for that, let's be honest.
To be fair, I don't think I get my flowers for most things that I do.
Nah.
But I don't mind.
Bro,
it's like,
how massive was that?
It was big and it was daunting.
And it was on your own terms.
Yeah, yes, it was. But what people don't know is that, and I suppose the reason I didn't, because here's another thing about flowers in this country is that you actually get what you hype up, you know? So if you see somebody on newspapers and magazines, there's a PR team there approaching as well.
Yeah.
Yes, the newspapers or the whatever
will jump
to you and also, but it's there's a bit of meeting halfway, right?
Yes.
And for a long time in my life, I didn't do that. I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, same here.
You know, because I was like, my work will speak for itself. Yeah, exactly. If you want to talk to me, come talk to me. And I think the reason I didn't hype up that thing is two things. One, I'm a big fan of under-promise and over-deliver.
Okay.
So I can't over-deliver if I'm getting to a place. I also need a year to figure out what's happening here. And then you can call the media and say, hey, listen to Anele's show. Before that, I was just fortunate enough that I hit that show hot. When I landed, the shit was hot. So even me, I was like, okay, are we going to get better? Like, what's going on? Why are we so good? Why people like us? Like, why is it working? Why is...
Because naturally, there should be like
there should be like a, when you arrive.
And then you start
and then
from
you
scratch.
Go, and, then you start, and then you go up. That didn't happen with us. We went and we were like gone,
wow.
Right? So I think that was almost like jarring me a bit. Like, I'm like, what's going to happen here? Kuthe ni kumnandi kanje. You know, and my mom used to say, mdana mxa kumnandi nufasini mmeni tandas. Like, just don't let things make men. Just iman.
Amen.
So that was one of the reasons. And the other is that Terry and Ravi in the physical sense, Terry in the paper sense, had come to me 3 years before that and made me sign a contract that says that I understand that I'm being groomed for breakfast.
Oh, wow.
So every decision they made after that signature was pointing towards that. The effort, the investment, the grooming, the nurturing, the personal life nurturing, the everything was pointing towards the, I knew it was written down that they were like, you know, almost. And it was one paper. Ravi came during the show and he just put the contract this and he slid it around and he slid it to me. And I looked at it and then it was Terry, Ryan, Ravi. And I was like, okay. And I read it didn't give dates of when we were gonna get it, but it was like, you know, almost what the deal is. And to me, that's a vote of confidence. So that's a flower for me.
Yay.
That's a huge,
the biggest
bouquet of flowers. So then it means nothing to me to go in and get it from anywhere else, you know? And to me, there are no tricks here. You know, we're not looking elsewhere seeing, is there somebody better than you? We're telling you are the best that we know.
Oh, yeah.
So we're gonna work with you.
How many awards have you won since?
I have no idea. I won't lie. I don't know.
Tell me the recipe of a good, not even breakfast show, drive time show.
Somebody who lives life. I think the mistake I almost did when I got to breakfast was to not go out because I want to be in bed by 8.
Yes, so
but
you can be fresh.
All the good stories come at 10, you know? And I remember, like, you know, you listen to other people who do breakfast, they're like, just make sure you're in bed. And to me, it's that you need to be in the grocery store, you need to be at the post office, you need to be...
That's where content is.
You need to be dropping off kids at school, yeah. You know, you need to be going to sports days.
You need to live.
You need to live in order to be relatable, because when you say something, somebody listens like, ah, no, that's not correct. That's when they call in. So that's the most important, is that with TV, I mean, look at it. We are at the state of Miss South Africa. Yeah. That stage is humongous.
You flew us out, by the way.
Yes.
So we can shoot you.
Because I just wanted people to see what they... Because I take Miss South Africa very seriously. Yeah.
No, actually, your PA flew us out.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Lungani.
Thank you, Lungani.
Mr. Kumede. He's shy. He's shy. So now look at this. When you and I are doing radio, what do we need? Two mics and a few chairs, a few lights, and we're good to go, right?
100%.
For TV, look what needs to happen TV to happen. So this is the juxtaposition that I wanted to show as well, of like the duality that I live, the two worlds that I live in, right? And so I always believe radio, I just happen to have a mic. You have one in your car as well, and I want you to use it. Your mic happens to be a phone, call in, right? Because radio is a conversation. Radio, I'm talking to you. TV, I'm talking at you.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, like that's just like the difference in the mediums. So that's why, like, when you ask about awards, Nintoni's, like the glitz, the glamour, you know, what is the consistency? What do you need to be in radio? In radio, you need to be real. In TV, you need to, like, be larger than life.
It's a show.
And no one who's larger than life is real. Let's be fair, because you on radio, you're not going to listen to somebody on radio, because radio is such a personal medium. When you listen to radio, you are deciding many things. Am I going to get this divorce? Am I having the abortion? Am I keeping the kid? Am I moving? Am I taking the job? You are making life decisions whilst you're listening to someone. So you can't have a personality, hola, the whole time. You know, you have to have somebody who's like stable waters. Entertaining, engaging, I get it, but they have to be stable waters. TV, you don't make any life decisions whilst you're watching TV, because TV, you are just taking the entire thing in. You're being fed it, right? So for radio, you need to be relatable. And the most important thing is you need to be consistent.
Before we get into TV, what are your frustrations with radio? Because a lot of people are saying it's dead. It's no longer the same.
Radio,
I mean,
is
you probably hardly ever listen to radio unless it's your show.
No, I listen to radio.
Is it?
Yeah, no, I listen to radio a lot. I don't listen to radio in the house, at my house. In my house, it's my playlist, because that's when I'm cooking or I'm playing with my son, whatever.
You love cooking, by the way, right?
Oh, I live for it. It is
favorite dish?
Spicy rice and sherry chicken and umlek.
That's some soft shit. What is that, dog?
It sounds tasty.
He's like,
tasty. <You're> like, no veggies. No veggies.
Talk dirty to me. What was that? Spicy who? Oh, girl, stop it. Don't play that game.
I never knew that.
No, I love to cook. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
If I'm angry, I cook.
Yeah.
If I'm depressed, if I'm sad, if I fail, I cook.
So when are we getting the cooking show?
If I never? If I come
No, you will, but like I'm busy. Yeah.
If I come to your house and you bring, I can't bry. You have to bry.
Yeah, no,
No. I can't touch.
Don't touch it.
Yeah.
I'll bry.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll bry. In fact, this past Friday, my guy friends, it was only guys friends, and like, I was brying. And there's like, tons of men who also love to bry. And I was like, you sit the fuck down. You touch my shit. Like, there was a point Kaya was standing, I was like, you're just going to hold the tray. So, what are you saying? What frustrates me about radio? That's what you're asking. Is that we've forgotten to program stations. You know, Leo Manes of the world, the Tim Zankles, the Ravi Naidus, people must program. Like, I think because radio has become such a money maker that everyone in the building, from the first floor to the 10th floor, is all pointed at the money.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, guys, the people listening are the money.
Yes.
Because if they're not listening, we're not going to make money.
Exactly. So what are you going to sell to client?
An empty station makes not money, my friends.
100%.
And for me, I just feel that you need to grow talent and you need to program them so that, yes, they've got the raw talent, but there just has to be a continuous learning for them to keep on learning. And I feel that radio's not dead. It's just stopped learning.
It could never die. It's free.
No, radio is not gonna die. What's gonna die in it is the creativity and the bravado of it and the the instant nature of it. I mean, people were so okay with pre-recording the shows. I'm like, what are you doing?
What? People do that?
I'm like, what went on?
What?
You know, sometimes...
Yeah. The blasphemy.
People on drive, I know drive DJ pre-recorded links.
Pre-recorded links. What? You're like, when's
that? Like, literally, I was like, what's going on?
I'm like, no. I remember, I mean, obviously now you can't say it, but I remember when we were training radio at Tugs, when people wanted to pre-record, my station manager would be like, and what if Nelson Mandela dies?
Mm.
You know, what if Princess dies? You know, think of the big moments in the world that have happened. Granted, now you can go to internet and you can go to social media, whatever, but the first thing you did was put the radio on. You know, and for me, that's why I just think it radio can't die, but we have to keep it live. Like, it has to be hot. We all know we've been on radio. When you're doing something live, the possibility of anything happening is what's keeping you like this. But
yes.
This is how you have a conversation with our teen lo. I remember I was talking to this woman the other day about, then she was talking about how smart her daughter is, because I was saying, please call in and brag about your children who went in 3 years old, and then the teachers realize that low smart must go to grade one immediately, you know, because people don't realize that people get promoted.
Yeah,
you know, you go into a school, you stand at four, and then they realize, yay, this one in maths, I can go stand at eight. So sometimes your maths classes are from standard eight, but you can still do the standard four syllabus. Yeah. So I wanted people to call in and say that. This mom calls in, yo, bruh, her daughter is overachiever, literally 23, and she's already like the executive sidekick to an insurance. Big insurance company, like outsurance vibes. She's like the sidekick to the CEO at 23, because she's that much of a bright spark. Wow. But she's going on. But oh, bro, did you know? And then mothers, do you have any other children? She's like, yeah. And I was like, and she's like, oh, my daughter, she's 19. And I'm like, and her? She's very pretty.
That's
now, can I tell you, if that was pre-recorded, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah,
that wouldn't have happened, because there's a preemption about pre-recording that makes me feel like I can do it again. If I mess it up, I can do it again. When you live,
you can't be that this comfortable. Is it.
This is it.
You're what on your you toes.
It is riding the edge of the bullet.
Mm.
Literally,
you know, and that's what. I miss that about broadcasters. I miss broadcasters who used to want to ride the edge of the bullet, you know, without constantly being happy that you're in trouble. Ride it so much that you are going to be in trouble, but no one can actually stick anything on you.
And you'll apologize later.
I've never really, I've had to apologize a few times, not like you, man. Yeah, you're a winner. Oh, twin saver. Oh, I'm sorry, man. Yeah.
I remember when you mentioned Nelson Mandela, I remember there was a meeting.
Barry, if like, we can talk about this. If Mandela passes away,
there was a Mandela box. Yeah.
Oh yes.
So
yes,
what?
Every
so
broadcasting house in the world had a Mandela box.
Yes.
If you didn't have one, you're wrong. Mandela boxes. You put together, because not everyone is broadcasters. You put together clips and information and calls from people around the world saying things about Mandela, so that in the event he does pass away, and people tune into your radio station, you just press play on the Mandela box. There's a Bill Clinton box.
Yes.
So it's big people. Most stations had a Michael Jackson box. It's just that he died before we thought he was going to go, you know?
Yeah.
Every station has earmarked five people who would rock the world if they pass away right now. And there's a box for it. So there's a Mandela box. Carry on, Mac.
So Ravi calls me about 10 times. He's like, MacGyver, whatever happens, please. Don't say anything. Go to the box and call me. He's like, don't say anything.
I repeat, Mac.
He's like, pretend. Like,
don't say a word.
Don't say anything. Don't tell us none of your stories.
Call a friend.
Don't put on an accent. Don't do none of it, Mac.
How come you've never been fired?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't list for it. You don't. Oh, Khali.
You guys, and then who's paying my bills?
You got another checks, man.
No, I just.
Miss Essay, this check is good for a year, bro. She's high.
Yeah. She, I mean, she's being it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why haven't I been fired? Lungan, why haven't I been fired?
I think you've studied the game. I think you've studied the game. And you know how to maneuver.
Okay. I mean, wait, I have been fired. I didn't get SS Got Talent the third season. Doesn't that count?
Well, that's that's not like you getting fired mid-season.
Your vibes.
Never got fired.
Really?
Never.
So then why don't you ask him that question? Why do you only ask me?
No, like,
Because it's about
I'm a loose cannon, but never gotten fired. Okay. But like, he's talking about like mid-season.
Where they say, I don't know. I deliver. I suppose I deliver. And I because I deliver so much, a lot of my transgressions will be overlooked because I deliver a lot.
Ever got
a
warning?
No.
You've never gotten a warning. Wow.
But also, can I tell you something? I'm very quick to say I'm wrong. So I don't look for ways out of it. It's like today I read the wrong Vodacom live read. And it's because I'd left my prep, which is like a thick stick like this, at the studio. And then I went home. When I came back, they'd printed me the new prep. So I just took them and because I thought it was the same thing. And I put them together. And then as you tell me, 10 minutes we're going to do Vodacom, sure. Line it up. Then I didn't look at the date. So I lined up yesterday's one. Oh. So I read the wrong one.
That's admin.
And then, no, but wait, it's still wrong.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's
true,
still wrong. True. Especially with because Vodacom is putting a big deal into this new campaign.
Yeah.
So you may think I'm just pissing off my manager in sales, but there's a CEO of Vodacom who's now upset because his huge campaign that is costing them 50 million has this little girl there. You know, so as soon as I see I'm wrong, like I text immediately and I'm like, I did this, I'm wrong.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna make up for it. I'm looking for a gap. So I'm already giving you the steps of how I'm gonna make up for it. So I do that on a small scale, I do that on a big scale. So I suppose that's why I get.
But you know, so there can be a program manager who walks tomorrow and doesn't like your smile or your gap or whatever, and they're like, "Aye, you must leave."
But I suppose I avoid places where it's the be all and end all of one person. I like collaborative things. Like I like my bosses to be dictators,
okay,
on certain levels. Like, don't come to me and be like, "So what do you think of that feature? Don't you think we should can it?" If you don't like the feature, tell me to fucking can the feature and let's move on with our lives, right? Don't try and make it like we are all, we have to see the wizard. Yeah. No, don't do that, because ultimately you are the boss.
Yes,
you know? But I know that as much as they can make a call around certain things on a show like that, they are not the only one who can make a call on whether I should be there or not.
So you've never had a BCCSA complaint that's stuck?
No.
Yo, you're clean, eh?
No, she's good. She's not clean, but she's good.
Yeah. She
like,
I'm sure
she said some stuff.
Because you're not safe, bro. You're not safe.
Yeah, she's not. That's what I'm saying. She's good. Because like I said, she can ride
the
bullet.
It's hard to do that.
It's riding the bullet.
Let me put it this way. Your humor is South Park, my humor is Big Bang Theory.
That's an insult.
Why are you laughing?
Because it's an insult.
No, it's not. South Park is a damn good
show. It is, but it's almost like saying, mine is intelligent, yours is slapstick.
No, guys, South Park is intelligent.
No, it is, but come on.
Come on, suck on my salty flavored balls.
No, Big Bang Theory, there's a lot of
nuance. You see, it's nuance.
Yes.
See, so for me, I will say something naughty, but it is up to you for your mind.
Fuck you, bro. That's gonna be. You're the gutter. I'm Bryanston. I've been here for 21 years in Bryanston.
You're this,
you're
I'm that.
Don't throw away from
me. I'm
hills,
hot,
bro.
You're not. I'm the Rock, you the heartbreak kid. I'm Denzel, you Terrence Howard.
Yeah, I get you. Do you have ambitions to still run Prime Media one day?
Don't I?
I'm asking, do you?
I'm asking, don't I run Prime Media?
Hey!
I'm joking!
Hey!
Trish,
that was a Big Bang Theory one. I didn't get it.
Hey,
we tried!
Geraint, Trish, Tando, I'm only playing. This is all a joke. I actually have aspirations to run the SABC one day. Ooh. Because I think that needs more of me than Prime Media does.
Prime Media is good.
Yeah. It's a well-oiled machine.
It's a well-oiled machine. And I feel like with what I've learned at Prime Media and my passion for teaching, I think SABC is more of a plan for me. And because I'm well versed in radio and TV,
yeah.
I think I'd be a great person to run the SABC.
Let's get into TV. When does the TV bug bite you? It's because of your mom, because she was a continuous presenter.
Yeah, she was a continuous presenter, but I didn't think I'd do that. Yeah.
Robert Marawa took a job.
Yes.
You told me last
Robert
week.
Robert Marawa and Claire Mawisa and that group of hotties.
Oh, yeah.
They
those
took the
Sandy
oldies out. So my mom was with Papi Maloy's mom, Nana Maloy, Lucas Sithole.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom was in that group.
Wow.
Is that what inspired you to get into TV?
No, I think the fact that if you can tell people, listen, uncle, one of my dad's very good friends. You know, black kids, if somebody's your dad's very good friend, he's your uncle.
Yeah.
Upo Zolisa was a station manager at Metro years ago.
For real?
Yeah. Wow. And then he started P4 in KwaZulu-Natal. So, and then my mom was on TV. So I think proximity is everything.
Yes.
And this is why, like, I'm that mother who, if your kids come to my house, we're going to go do something that ups their proximity, okay. You know? So are we going to see Zelda, you know, who used to work with Nelson Mandela?
Bounce.
Like for me, no, Bounce is easy. Anyone can go to Bounce. South I think you must start like...
Hey, you took it personally. He wants to be Big Bang so bad. But he's not paying enough. He's not getting it.
Dealing with the astronauts.
It is an astronaut. Zero.
We Easter egg. See, that joke was easy enough for you to get.
Yeah, I get it. Right up my alley.
No, I just feel like do things. Do experiences with your kids. Yeah. Like, take them to see things that to them is out of the realm. Because the fact that I was running around the SABC when I was 7, the fact that I was running around in radio stations when I was 8 or 12, it's not like it's a call I made that I'm going to be a broadcaster, but it wasn't out of my reach. Because there are many kids who sit and they watch TV and they're like, how did those people get there?
Yeah.
You know? Then people listen on the radio, they're like, how did this person get into that radio? And I think that alone is a huge problem for people who want to grow an industry.
Yeah.
Kids must know how to get onto TV.
Yeah.
And so, like with the SABC, I want to do it because for that reason alone, so that we can... I think the SABC should be like Universal Studios where people land and they want to go see them.
Literally.
You know?
Yes.
And once you do that, then you can have academies in there. You can have masterclasses in there. You can have ad agencies being based there because the studios are there.
It's a sleeping beast.
So then you can show people that being on radio is not just being the presenter. It's the person who writes the copy. It's the person who produces it. The person who produces the show. You know, there's just many aspects to it that is important to highlight. And that's why I say Prime Media is okay. I'd like to do the SABC.
Did your mom live long enough to see your success?
My mom attended one episode of my Strictly Come Dancing debut and then she passed away.
Oh. Yeah.
So, wow. But she saw me rock it.
She saw me rock it.
But also, my nanny, who's still our nanny now at my dad's house, she says, because obviously when my mom had cancer, she basically became my mom's caretaker.
Yeah.
So they spent a lot of time together, speaking a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's why it's so tough to let go now of Aunt Bonani, because she just holds my mom's vault so much that it's important that we keep her. Because so she'll say things sometimes, and maybe she'll see that you're struggling or you're having a bad day or you're fighting with a boyfriend, and she'll say things where you can see that she's almost channeling my mom.
Oh, wow.
So she'll say to me when she has to remind me how good I am that, you know, Sisi used to say, if you want something done, give it to Anel.
Meh.
And she's like, and then, because they're always like, but Anel, who is? I don't know, Law busy who's going to get it done.
Mm.
Because she'll make sure that between this and that and that and that, she slips it in,
yes,
you know?
Jeez, that's insane, man. I'm not even going to mention all the TV shows you've done. If people want to know, they can Google that. There's a lot.
Yeah.
But the one which took my breath away, bro, was Real Talk with Anel.
Yes.
When I watched that, I'm like, who the fuck is doing your research? I remember, I don't know who you were interviewing.
Can I have fucking water?
I don't know who you were interviewing, ne? Mari, you mentioned that they used to sleep on the floor. They used to eat... I don't know, bro, but like, I'm like, this
was
research...
Was this not Skumba?
It was probably Skumba,
He used to tell me he used to sleep under the dining room table.
Yes. I'm like, the research is insane.
Mm.
Who was doing the research there?
Me.
No ways.
I love research. Research is actually for me. I love being on the mic and in front of the camera, but what whitens my teeth better than anything is like finding out things to open you up.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of my
You didn't
research.
Have a team on Real Talk?
Look, we did have a team, but because they come with their own understanding what research is.
Yeah,
you know, to them it's like, where were you born? But for me, so it was, the onus was on me to teach them how I do research. Mm. So with time, yes, the team grows. But I mean, even that, you know, the team goals. You know the turnover in this industry. Mm. I mean, with real talk, I was basically teaching a new person every month how to do a job, you know. And you can't now be this person when it's a young person, they just out of varsity or whatever, and, you know, they've got stars in their eyes, and you are now going to be cheap because of Tikiwe, you know. And I think it was a lot of the strain that I experienced in real talk. It was like that balance of teaching, researching, like making sure it's the right clips. But also, this is a downfall of mine. I am a control freak, and I know that.
So would you say you're hard to work with?
No, I'm not hard to work with, as long as you do your job. There's a difference. I'm not hard to work with. I think I create pretty awesome environments to work in, actually.
Yeah. But sometimes that can be the downfall, man, because people get too comfortable.
But I don't want anyone going to work being unhappy, because my mom was unhappy at her job for like a good 16 years. And
at Simunye?
No, my mom left Simunye, man. My mom, when my mom passed away, she was working in the public relations office at Pretoria Technicon. Mm. And her boss was a terror. Aish. Like, and it didn't matter what she tried to do. Like, she would, like, apply for other jobs inside of the institution. And
was it because she was a woman? Ooh.
Yeah, and Renee would block it, you know. She would always block it, but she would always be... And then she didn't like my mom because my mom had a better car. But my mom, obviously my dad is, like, buying things. Yeah. It was just, like... It was just bullying at work. It was, and so...
Isn't that weird that still happens today?
It does! But this is why people who work with me will tell you, like, I'm adamant that you will not come to work to be unhappy. Please rather... Don't do it. Like, to me, that thing gives you cancer. I think my mom got cancer because she was unhappy at work.
Eesh.
You know? So I'm not difficult to work with. I create great environments, but I am concrete. Mm. When because I know that I will take accountability for all of us. So don't do things that force me into taking accountability, because if we do something wrong, it's mine. On TV, live TV, and something goes wrong, no one says, who Anele's, sound guy did this. It's like, why you Anele Moshi?
Yeah.
So now I need to take it on the chin. So we all gonna take it on the chin type of thing. So like, I'm like very hard, but what I also know about myself is that as soon as I've made my point clear about where you failed, we're back to normal.
Yeah, we move
on. And I
on.
Think people who work with me have it's like a jarring thing for them in the beginning, but then it makes sense later, because it's like, okay, because now, you know, when you're fighting with someone, you don't know when you guys are going to be fine again. Mm. So I always make the first step to show you, we're fine again.
Yeah.
We're fine again.
It's not personal.
Yeah, it's not personal. It's not. Yeah,
but you're intimidating, Anele.
Oh, please.
Is it called a bitch resting face? What is it called?
A bitch resting face? I do not. Nah, I have the friendliest face in the world.
Yeah, you got a friendly face.
I was so scared to talk to you when you came into the staff meetings.
Really?
Ooh, I was afraid of you, Anele.
Oh, Mac G, won't you?
Hey, I'm like, this one is ready for violence, this one. One wrong move, you're out. You fucked. Yeah? Isn't she intimidating, dog?
No.
You reckon?
I don't get those vibes.
Ah, you've never worked with her, that's
But I was telling guys, like, wow, man, she's so impressive. She's like, so approachable, and
I don't think I'm that at all.
Yeah, you're not.
I actually think that's part of my success. Is the fact that everyone feels I'm approachable.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Because
podcast and chill, Matt G, the Ghost Lady, and Len Moleko.